Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour Message. It's 3-4-2018. This morning's message, folks, I'm going to read to you from King James Bible as always. It's "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." If you look at this, folks, from 1 Corinthians anyways, and that's where I want to go, is from 1 Corinthians. And we're going to start out in chapter, I have down 4, but I'll be honest with you, folks. I've got to do some stuff from chapter 1, but chapter 4 we'll go to in verse 20, and then I have some stuff from Hebrews 4:12. So when I get there, you'll see. But before we go there, I want to do prayer requests, and I have a song I want to play for you before we go. It's called Rock of Ages. All right, so before we get into that, let's do the song and give everybody a chance to get here, find your place in chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, and then we'll go from there. Thank you. Thank you for being here. If I can get her started, that is. As I said, I have some prayer requests. They're older ones. They're from last week. I didn't see any new ones when I looked this morning. I didn't post a prayer request, request for prayer requests. But again, we've got prayer requests from last week, so I'm going to go over a few. Braden Toll, who's 9 years old, still having some problems, I know, with flu and the pneumonia, because that doesn't go away easy, folks. And David Ackert, we asked last week for him to grow more in the Lord. And then we have Gerald Rivera, his mom, stage 3 pancreatic cancer, so they're still dealing with that, I know. And it said here in the notes that the doctors weren't hopeful for remission, so please pray for Virginia Martinez, Gerald Rivera's mom. And Braden Toll is Gerald Rivera's son, and Gerald Rivera is a single dad raising his children at home. There's a Frank Price, unknown illness causing a lot of pain. Dorothy's at home. Dorothy Mayer is at home, and she's getting better every day with her oxygen. She started therapy this week, pulmonary therapy. Terry Williams is still asking for that home purchase to go well. So there's a prayer request for that. Darla, I said last week I didn't know how that was going with Darla Shackford's grandson, but from what I understand, he's doing good in school. Those that were praying for that, because he was having problems in school with bullying and what have you, and that's been straightened out, at least from what we can tell at this point. And he's been sick for weeks. Let's hope that goes away. And then I'm sure there's some requests from Sandy Washer, but I didn't see any this week. We'll go through these real quick. And for our president and for all that's going on with all of the issues with our government, pray that that gets straightened out. There's so much scandal going on, folks, and I don't even know where to look at it anymore. It's so out of control. It's pathetic. But pray for our president. Pray for our government. Pray that God would work there and fix that and straighten that all out. This morning's message, folks, like I said, we're going to go to, so let's pray for this morning's message. Father, thank you for allowing us to be here to preach the gospel, to share the word. We don't ask for anything, Lord, other than to watch over us and keep us safe and give us the wisdom to know what to do and when to do it, Lord. This morning, we're just asking that you bless all of these that we ask for prayer in the name of Jesus and get us through the day, Lord, and through this message as well, that it would touch someone's heart somewhere, somehow. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. So we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians, folks. As I said, I want to start there because I have some things I want to show you. And let's see if I can get this out of the way. Here it is. Yep. The power of God is not in the word, but comes from God's kingdom. People wonder, like, where do these things come up with that I come up with for titles, right? Well, they're not from me. These are things like this. Some of them do, I got to admit. Yes, some of them do. This one here is one that comes right out of Corinthians 4, chapters 20, or chapter 4, verse 20, and that's the exact verse. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." And as we go back to 1 Corinthians, I'm going to tell you something about 1 Corinthians so that we understand where 1 Corinthians starts and how it gets going. It started back in AD 56, and Paul was the author. And the theme of 1 Corinthians about Christian conduct, we look at it just real quickly. Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was called to be a Christian. He was called to share the gospel. He says here in his word, he says, "I thank my God always," and this is verse 4 of chapter 1, "your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ." He's talking to the church of Corinth. "That in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ, so that you come behind in no gift." That means we don't go without any gift. That means that we always have the Lord watching over us, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm in you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of your Lord Jesus Christ. God's faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, let's look at this. It says in verse 10 of the same chapter, chapter 1, "Now I beseech you," which means "I beg you, brethren," that means the members of the church or God's family, "by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." This house of Chloe is Corinthian church. There's some dissension going on, and there's some falling apart. But what he was trying to do is he's trying to explain to them, like here in verse 12, "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I of Christ." He's saying, listen, you claim to be from all of these different sects, we'll say, right? And when I say sect, I mean S-E-C-T, sect, okay? "In Christ divided, was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" No, we're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, all of us are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian. Okay? Or you should have been, or should be, or will be at some point. But you belong to Christ. You don't belong to a church. You don't belong to a building. You don't belong to a name over the building. You have to look at these things, folks, and go, okay, so how do I find out what the Bible means? Well, if we go back, at least in mine, I have a study Bible in Corinthians. That's the first epistle, which is the letter, first letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. It gives an exact occasion of what the letter is about. It tells what the thrust of the letter is about. It talks about the subjects that are in this portion, 1 Corinthians. And then if you go to 2 Corinthians, it'll happen in there. If you have a study Bible, and if you don't, you can look those things up. But human wisdom is contrasted with the wisdom of God, which means it doesn't always go along with it. It means it blacks it out, it blurs it, and sometimes man thinks that his word is more powerful than God. You listen to some of these preachers, when they preach, and I love when a preacher gets on the pulpit and he preaches, as we say in the old days, fire and brimstone. He really gets into it and he really preaches. That's what that means. Now, he's not preaching his words, he's preaching God's words. It says here in verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God." We know that without the cross, which Jesus was born, he was raised, he died, he was placed on a cross where they finally took him down and they put him in the ground and he was raised up from the dead. Now, when you look at those things, that cross had significance. God used that cross. He used Jesus as our propitiation for our sins. Paul even goes on to say, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." You see, these people that think that they're puffed up in their brains, where they think they know it all in the Bible, and they don't really share the gospel. They share their opinion of the gospel. And what I'm reading to you, folks, is word for word. Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Of course he has. For after that, in the wisdom of God in the world, by wisdom knew not God. See, a lot of these people will preach, but they do not know God. Or they have so far gone off the mark that they think they can understand what God means without going by what the Bible teaches. In other words, we all know that some of the churches today aren't really sharing the gospel the correct way, or they'd be calling sin, sin, instead of allowing sin in. You see, they call it sin, but not the sin that you and I know. They're not calling the sin of this Bible. What they're saying is, we must love everyone, including those that would go against God. And you cannot do that. And that's what Paul is saying here. Foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You see, even though we may be in all these different churches, these different belief systems, God calls his out, his believers. That's why people used to ask me, "Preacher, do you think a person can get saved in a Catholic church or can get saved in whatever cult or whatever church?" Listen, wherever the word of God is mentioned, the heart is touched, and they're awoke. They become awoken or awake to the fact that God is real, that there is a God. And if they're a real Christian inside, and God knows his children, he calls them every day. He says, "Listen, I called you because I want you to do what I ask you to do. Become a believer. For the Jews require a sign, but we preach Christ crucified," 23, "unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." See, a lot of the people in the world are just like that. They think because we're preaching this, we're wrong. They think it's a stumbling block. But I'm telling you, when I read these words, these are the words of God. These are the words of Paul. These are words that Paul wrote down because God instructed him to. It's the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, I'm going to read this again to you over here in chapter 4, because I don't want to forget that. We want to get that in before the time runs out on me, as always. If we go to chapter 4, and I have in my note 18 to 20, so let's do that. Let's look at 18 to 20. "Now, some of you were puffed up, as though I would not come to you," Paul's saying. This apostle, he's saying, listen, God is telling us that some of you think that you know better than even God, and that God's not going to come to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know, not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. See, he's talking about the power of God to correct you, to help you understand what's right and what's wrong. Because if we go back and look, and I'm going to come right back to this, I'm going to go back to the beginning, because it says here, there was a part in the focus of the theme in my Bible. It says the main thrust epistle, correction of error, brought about more by the carnality of the believers at Corinth than by heresy. See, there was heresy in the church even back then. And this 1 Corinthians, the theme is about Christian conduct. That means we're to start straightening out what we're doing, folks. As a church, we can't just go around thinking we know it all. Listen, if we took the Bible and threw it on a shelf and just stood in front of people and talked, we'd have people following us all day long, because the world loves to feel like they have all this knowledge. I'm a fool if I think that. Anything I try to share with you from the gospel comes from the gospel, folks. I don't make it up. I don't go, well, this is what I think. I think I'll do this, and I'll tell them this is what God's saying. I'm telling you what this Bible tells me, and it comes from the Word of God. So back at chapter 4, verse 19, it says, but I will come to you shortly. Who? The Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to come to us at some point and work in our hearts and change us. And Paul was saying, look, even Paul admitted it back when he says, listen, wherefore I beg you, be ye followers of me. He wanted people to be followers of him as Paul, because Paul knew the word. He said, listen, you're following heretics. Listen to me. This is like I tell you. Listen to me when I preach. The Bible clearly says, listen. Listen to what the preachers in the church are teaching. Not what they're teaching from their word, but from the Bible, folks. For the kingdom of God, it says in verse 20, is not in word, but it's in the power of God. Look at 21. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness? You see, back then they were saying you have to do this by the Ten Commandments. And if you don't do that, you're going to hell. Okay? But if we're saved by Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, we're saved. We're not saved by the Ten Commandments or following them. God knew we were fools, and he knew we weren't going to follow the Ten Commandments. He saw it because he seen it with Moses. Now, I'll read on a little more over in verse 5. It says in 5:2, and ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. And he was talking about the one in the church who had been known to have been sleeping with his own father's wife, and they had allowed it. Now, back then, trust me, folks, there's sin in the church. There's sin in the church today. There's people in the church today that are not, they're not preaching the gospel. Oh, they're trying to share it, but they're not. Man thinks he's wise and can speak with great wisdom, but that's not really the power of God. The power of God is in the power of the preaching of God, of the Holy Spirit, of Jesus Christ, not man's words. No, I want to show you something else. This is out of Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow and of the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That means, this is what it means, folks. If you read the Bible or someone's preaching from the Bible to you, it will cut away the sin. It'll work so deep inside your heart, so deep inside your soul, so deep inside the bones that you walk around with, that you'll want that sin to be out of your body. You won't want to serve sin any longer. Not when you start reading and hearing the gospel and doing what Christ has asked us to do. Just like Paul was trying to share here with the Corinthian church. They knew and they went astray. They knew and they went astray because they were listening to someone that was not sharing the gospel with them. He was sharing his own opinion. He got puffed up and said, I know better. This is what God said. He didn't say this. He says this. This is what it means. And he wasn't saying that we don't follow the Ten Commandments. He was saying the Ten Commandments is a guide. That's what keeps us on the right path. We look at those as rules and guidance, just like this Bible. We look at it as rules and guidance. This word of the Bible, I could take this Bible and eat it, and it wouldn't make me any better of a Christian. The only thing that's going to make me a better Christian is living the word, being an example of God's word. Look here, I found this. This is from a Thomas A. Kempis, and it comes from Imitation of Christ, a book I believe that he wrote. I found this online. Against vain and worldly knowledge. That was the title. My son, let not the fair and subtle sayings of men move thee. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power, he says. Give ear to my words, for they kindle the heart and enlighten the mind. They bring contrition, and they supply manifold consolation. Never read thou the word, that thou mayest appear more learned or wise, but study for the mortification of thy sins, for this will be far more profitable for thee than the knowledge of many difficult questions. In other words, if you study this word, those questions will they're going to disappear. You can bring on all the most difficult questions in the world. Just like this morning, my thought was, our government, our world system, they would just follow what God had said from the beginning. We wouldn't have the problems we have in the world today. We wouldn't have starvation. We wouldn't have homeless. We wouldn't have the greedy. We wouldn't have those that think they're better than someone. In fact, we wouldn't have school shootings because somebody thinks they're not as good, or someone was bullied, or they think that I'll get even, because we all know that vengeance belongs to the Lord. Now, we know that there are people that look the other way, and they allow a lot of things to go on. Like I said, even with the church, they're saying here in chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians that they were looking the other way. There's a fornication among you, it says. And much as such named as is not even named against the Gentiles. That means worldly people even know that there's a wrong doing what was being done. You see, last week I shared some of that message with you, and maybe that's how I got onto this part of it, but think about this. Our world knows that promiscuity is wrong, yet they allow it. They've gone so far as to allow it even in our children, and then we look the other way as if, well, everybody does it. And then they wonder why they have diseases, and they have children that are having children, and then unwed parents. They have a family at home where it's falling apart because there's no correction, there's no guidance. That's where even the Ten Commandments comes in. We have to have a guidance system, or we have anarchy, or we have out of control. We have people that won't listen to the gospel. If you're not listening to the word and following what the Bible says, then you're listening to something else or someone else or believing in something false. That's going to lead to an issue eventually, folks. We should be able to say this, Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That means it's salvation to all of us. What is salvation? That means we're saved from the turmoils and the stresses of this world. The power of God is not in the word, it's in the believing and having the faith of God and trust in God and knowing by example, by watching those that lived by God, and realize that they don't have the same problems the world has. And the reason they don't is because they cast all their cares upon the Lord. They say, well, I know I'm going to suffer. There's no doubt I'm going to have problems. The Bible even says you're going to have suffering. You're going to be caught in turmoil at times. You're going to go through miserable days. But you know what? He's right there with you every step of the way. In fact, a lot of people know that. The Lord is with them, and they turn their other cheek. They just turn away, and they go, oh, I can't take it no more, and they walk away. In fact, I heard of a story not long ago, maybe a month ago, of a young man that committed suicide. He couldn't take it any longer. He was a Christian. Young kid, too. More than one in the last year. 2 years, actually. Young kids. They didn't even get to be 27 years old. I don't know how old they were. They were young. Now, you see what happens is they give up too easy. They decide they can't handle it. And the fact is, the Lord's right there all the time. And even though we sin, the power power of God is right there. And he says, I know you sinned. I'm not foolish. I see you. I see everything you do. I know everything you do. I knew the day you were born what you were going to be. You know, the Bible says a lot of things about what we should and should not do, but one thing it says, here's something in Chronicles 29:11. Power is of David's thanksgiving. This was the title and his prayer. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. You see, when we place him head above all, even our problems become minute. Because as God says, he is more powerful. He is more wise. He is not a fool. He says, my foolishness is wiser than man. He says, my weakness is stronger than man. So how could we not trust in him? He's going to take care of us. Over in verse 7 of verse chapter 2, it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. You see, as Christians, some people don't understand that we talk about the wisdom and the mystery that God will take care of us. They go, well, if God's so good, well, do you trust him? I can't trust him. He took my wife. He took my son. I lost everything. That wasn't God's doing. He may have allowed it so that you would get on track and call out to him. And then you would realize that everything on this planet means nothing. The day you come in, you came in empty. When you go out, you're going out empty. So it's only for your enjoyment while you're here. So if for a little while you get to enjoy it and it's gone, oh, well, you had a good time. I thank you for letting me share the message. We're going to run out of time here. Maybe I'll do a little more and share some more with you next week on that, on the spiritual truths and human wisdom. God has these truths written down for us, folks. This is not a game. It's not a joke. This is our life. We should be taking it serious. We should take God serious. If you don't take him serious, what are you? Who are you taking serious? And what are you taking serious? And why? What's so important to you that when you die, it's not important that you go to heaven? As if the enjoyment stops, I die, I'm dead, boom, that's the end of it all, right? That's not how it has to be. And I can tell you this, it's not going to be that way. Because at some point, you're either going to hell or you're going to heaven. And I beg of you, as Paul says, to please hear the word. Thank you for letting me share with you. God bless you. Thank you for being here. I do have another song for you folks, and we're going to go find it right now. I want to make sure I get the right one. Yep, glory to his name. We're going to do that one, and we'll finish off with that. Thank you for being here. God bless you, and we'll talk to you again next week, okay? There we go. Let's try this. Oh, it got me. I went to hit it. It moved. We only have a few seconds, but here you go. We're going to play this one. This is a gospel music song. Glory to his name. God bless you, and we'll talk again next week. Thank you.